Welcome to the 575 Deep Dive podcast, where AI meets business management. I'm Joe Luna, and every week, your favorite AI hosts dive into the tools, strategies, and stories that help content creators and small business owners thrive in the digital age. So whether you're looking to grow your online presence, monetize your passions, or connect with your audience, this is the place to be. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's explore how to take your business to the next level with a little creativity and a whole lot of innovation. This is the 575 Deep Dive Podcast. Let's get started.
Okay, so, you know, we've all been there, right? Staring at our inbox, feeling like we're just drowning in this sea of sales pitches and generic emails, and it's overwhelming, and you kind of just want to like shut off your computer and walk away. But what if there's a better way? What if instead of like blasting out these messages to the masses, we can actually connect with people who are ready to hear what we have to say? That's what we're going to be talking about today. In this deep dive, we're going to be looking at the changing world of outbound sales and exploring this new approach that's all about precision and connection.
It's a really fascinating shift. I think it could totally change the way that businesses connect with their customers.
Absolutely. And to help us kind of unpack all of this, we're going to be looking at an excerpt from an article called The Death of Mass Outbound, Precision Wins. And it's by Joe Luna. He's the founder of 575.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of him.
Yeah. So Joe's got some pretty strong opinions on this topic. And he doesn't shy away from sharing some pretty eye-opening insights.
I like that. So someone who tells it like it is.
Exactly. Yeah. No holds barred. So what I think is really fascinating about Joe's perspective is that he speaks from experience. You know, he's not just like an academic theorizing about, you know, sales trends. He's an entrepreneur. He's actually like living this transformation in his own business.
Right. In the trenches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he paints this really vivid picture of how the landscape has shifted, you know, for just a few years.
Yeah.
Remember those early days of email marketing, like back in the early 2000s?
Oh, yeah. I
did. It felt like a revolution, right?
It did, yeah.
Platforms like MailChimp, Constant Contact, even HubSpot.
Yeah.
They were changing the game, making it so easy to blast out messages to hundreds, even thousands of people with just a few clicks.
It really was like the Wild West back then.
It felt like a gold rush.
It did. Everyone was jumping on board.
Everyone was eager to stake their claim. Yeah. And for a while, it worked.
It did, yeah.
Like the response rates for those mass emails could be crazy high, sometimes even like 25%.
That's amazing. You don't see those numbers anymore.
No, you don't. But as more and more businesses jumped on the bandwagon, those inboxes started to overflow and spam filters became more sophisticated.
Way more sophisticated.
Yeah. So those once really powerful email blasts started getting lost in the noise.
Yeah. And it's like you're shouting into a crowded room.
Exactly.
No one can hear you.
It's impossible to get anyone's attention when everybody else is doing the exact same thing.
You just blend right in.
You just become part of that noise. And Joe actually highlights this in his article.
Okay.
He points out how the average number of meetings booked from outbound efforts has been steadily declining.
Oh, wow.
So think about it. You're going from like 50 meetings down to 40, then 30, 20, and finally you're down to a measly 10.
Oh, that's a huge drop.
That's a dramatic drop. And it's a clear sign that the old way of doing things is just not working anymore.
So what are companies doing about it? I mean, are they just giving up?
Well, some might be, but a lot of them, they fall into what Joe calls the send more trap. And it's this knee-jerk reaction to just crank up the volume, you know?
Right. Flood the market.
Assuming that if you send out enough email, something's bound to stick.
Yeah, just hoping for the best.
It's like trying to fix a leaky boat by adding more water.
That's a good analogy.
But as Joe points out, this approach, it's not only ineffective, it can actually be detrimental in today's market.
How so?
Well, for years, particularly in the tech world, many sales teams, they relied on this formula called predictable revenue. And it's essentially you hire more SDRs.
SDRs?
Yeah, sales development representatives.
Oh, yeah.
And you just scale up your email volume.
Gotcha.
And basically just like power through to book meetings through sheer persistence.
So just blast out as many messages as possible.
Yeah, and just cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Hope something sticks.
Exactly. But this approach, it's becoming increasingly outdated, and there's a few reasons for that.
Okay, I'm curious, why is that?
So firstly, people are just bombarded with information these days. Think about your own inbox. It's not just sales emails.
Yeah.
Competing for your attention. It's newsletters, yeah. social media notifications, promotional offers, you name it.
It's never ending.
It's overwhelming. And we've become masters at filtering out the noise. So anything that feels impersonal or irrelevant, it's just immediately
trash.
Exactly.
That's the way.
So when businesses rely on this kind of spray and pray approach,
right.
they're not just wasting their time and resources.
Right.
They're also potentially damaging their brand reputation.
Makes sense.
People are becoming increasingly savvy. They can spot a generic mass-produced email a mile away.
Yeah, it's like getting a form letter in the mail.
Exactly. It just feels impersonal and unengaging.
Nobody wants that.
No, and that kind of brings us to another layer of this whole evolution.
Okay.
The role of artificial intelligence.
AI.
AI, exactly. Mm. So AI, it's kind of a double-edged sword when it comes to outbound sales.
I can see that.
Yeah, on the one hand, it has this potential to automate tasks, personalize messages, even help identify potential leads.
So it sounds like the perfect solution.
It does, right?
Yeah.
AI can like crank out those emails for you, even personalize them to a certain extent, but there's a catch.
Uh-oh, there's always a catch.
As Joe points out in his article, you know, those AI-generated emails, while efficient, they often feel robotic and they lack that human touch.
I can see that.
Yeah, you can have AI pulling in these seemingly personalized details like where someone went to college,
right.
their hometown, even their dog's name.
Really?
But it often feels forced and creepy.
Yeah, like your computer's stalking you.
It's like that awkward moment when you receive an email that says, hey, your name. I saw you went to your college. We're also based in your hometown, and we love dogs, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's trying too hard.
It's like they're trying way too hard, and it just comes across as insincere.
Yeah, I'd be creeped out.
So this highlights, I think, a crucial point about AI.
Okay.
It's only as good as the data it's trained on and the way that it's used.
Right.
So if we're just using AI to blast out more of these generic mass-produced messages, we're not really solving the problem. We're just amplifying it.
Is adding to the noise.
Yeah, we're contributing to the noise and we're further eroding trust in our brands.
So if the old way of doing outbound is dying.
Yeah.
And AI isn't the magic bullet solution.
Right.
What's the alternative? What do we do?
That's the $1 million question. And that's where things get really interesting because this is where Joe Luna introduces this concept of signals-driven outreach.
Signals-driven outreach.
Yeah. And so instead of just casting a wide net and hoping to catch a few fish, signals-driven outreach is about focusing your efforts on those
gotcha.
Who are already showing signs of interest or intent.
I like that.
Yeah, it's about moving away from broad targeting based on just static information like job titles and company size.
Right.
And instead paying attention to real-time indicators that suggest a prospect might be ready to buy.
So you're like reading the room before you start speaking.
Exactly. You're looking for those cues that indicate people are actually receptive to what you have to say.
Okay, so what kind of signals should we be looking for?
So Joe provides some great examples. In his article, has a company recently raised funding? Are they expanding their team?
Okay.
Have they announced a new product launch?
These are all really good signs.
These are all actions that suggest a company is in this state of growth or transition and that they might be open to exploring new solutions.
Yeah, they're ready for something new.
Exactly. It's like noticing that someone's wearing a band's t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a signal that they might be interested in hearing about that band's upcoming concert.
I get it.
Yeah. So other signals might include things like starting a new initiative, you know, defining a new goal, or even buying a competitor's product.
I understand.
These are all indications that a company is actively thinking about a particular problem or need.
Right.
And that they might be receptive to hearing from someone who can offer a solution.
So it's about being attuned to what's happening in your target market.
Yeah.
And looking for those signs.
Looking for those telltale signs that someone's ready to engage. And Joe calls this fishing in a stocked pond.
I like it.
Instead of casting your line into the vast ocean,
right.
you're focusing your efforts on a smaller, more targeted area where you know the fish are already biting.
That makes sense.
Right.
Way more efficient.
So think about, wouldn't it be amazing if you could reach out to people right at the moment?
Oh, yeah.
They're actively looking for a solution like yours.
Absolutely.
That's the power of signals-driven outreach.
It's about timing.
Yeah, it's about being in the right place at the right time with the right message.
I can see how that would be so much more effective.
And instead of interrupting people with these unwanted messages, you're offering them something valuable at a time when they're actually open to hearing it.
You're actually helping them.
Exactly. And now you might be thinking, this all sounds great, but I'm just a small business owner.
Mm.
I don't have the resources of a big company with a sophisticated data analytics team.
Right.
How can I possibly implement this approach?
It sounds expensive.
And that's a great question. And it's something that Joe Luna addresses directly in his article.
Okay.
He himself runs a small business, and he successfully implemented signals-driven outreach using a platform that's accessible to everyone, LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, exactly. So it's like he's saying, look, you don't need fancy software or a huge budget to make this work.
Right.
You just need to be strategic, observant, and willing to put in the effort.
I like that. It's very empowering.
It is. And what I find particularly inspiring about Joe's approach is that it's rooted in genuine human connection.
Okay.
You know, it's not about manipulating people or using these tricks to get them to buy.
Right.
It's about building relationships based on trust and mutual understanding.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
So let's break down Joe's three key strategies for implementing signals-driven outreach on LinkedIn.
Okay, sounds good.
The first one he calls engagement before outreach.
Engagement before outreach.
Yeah, and it's about interacting with your target audiences, posts, comments, and shares before you ever send them a direct message.
So you're kind of like warming them up a little bit.
It's like showing up at a party and mingling with people before you start pitching your business idea.
Right. You want to get a feel for the vibe first.
Exactly. You want to build some rapport before you jump into business mode.
Yeah, I like that.
So what's so brilliant about this approach is that it allows you to establish familiarity and credibility without being intrusive or pushy.
Yeah, you don't want to come on too strong.
Exactly. And by engaging with your target audience's content, you're subtly signaling that you're interested in what they have to say.
Oh, that's good.
You understand their world and that you're not just there to sell them something.
Right.
It's like saying, hey, I'm here, I'm listening, and I'm interested in learning more about what you do.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
And that can go a long way in building trust and opening the door for a more meaningful conversation.
Absolutely.
Now, Joe's second strategy
is
to cut the jargon and the fluff.
Oh, I like that one.
He emphasizes the importance of having genuine conversations and making complex topics easy to understand.
Because nobody wants to read through a bunch of technical jargon.
Right. We've all been on the receiving end of those emails or LinkedIn messages that are filled with industry buzzwords and technical terms.
Oh, yeah. My eyes just glaze over.
It's like they're speaking a different language.
Totally.
And it immediately creates a barrier between you and the sender.
Yeah. You just tune out.
So Joe's approach is all about clarity, authenticity, and speaking to people in a language they can understand.
So being relatable.
Exactly. Being relatable, approachable, not intimidating or condescending.
Like you're having a conversation with a friend, not a sales pitch from a stranger.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so effective. People are much more likely to engage with someone who feels genuine and relatable.
Right. Some of you feel like you can trust.
Exactly. And finally, Joe emphasizes that timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
He reaches out to potential clients when he sees them actively discussing challenges that his company can solve.
Oh, that's smart.
So this is a prime example of using signals to your advantage.
Yeah.
Instead of blindly sending out messages and hoping they land at the right time, Joe strategically timing his outreach to coincide with moments when his prospects are most likely to be receptive.
Makes sense.
It's like seeing someone struggling to open a jar and offering to help.
Yeah, perfect timing.
You're providing a solution at the exact moment they need it.
Right.
Which makes your offer that much more appealing.
And it shows that you're paying attention.
Exactly. And it demonstrates that you understand their needs and you're not just trying to sell them something that they don't need.
So it's about being helpful, not pushy.
Exactly. And the results speak for themselves. You know, Joe says that this approach has led to more replies, more conversations, and ultimately
more sales,
more closed deals.
That's what it's all about.
So it's proof that being strategic, authentic, and human-centered can pay off in a big way.
Big time.
So what does this all mean for the rest of us?
Well, I think it means that the future of outbound sales isn't about blasting out more messages.
Right.
It's about being more strategic and precise in how we connect.
It's about understanding our audience, anticipating their needs, and adding value at every touch point.
Absolutely. And it's about recognizing that building genuine relationships is still the key to success, even in this world of AI and automation.
It's about remembering that behind every email address, every LinkedIn profile, every data point, there's a real human being.
Right.
With their own unique story, their own hopes and dreams, their own challenges and aspirations.
So true. We can't forget that.
And when we approach outbound sales with that in mind, we can create a more meaningful and fulfilling experience.
Absolutely.
For both ourselves and our customers.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
You know, it's fascinating how this whole shift from mass outbound to this more precision-based approach, it's kind of like it mirrors this broader trend.
Oh, yeah?
We're seeing in society as a whole.
Now that you mention it, I can kind of see what you mean.
Think about it. For decades, mass media was king, right? We had broadcast, television, radio, newspapers, all reaching these massive audiences.
Yeah.
With the same message. Mm. But then the internet and social media, they kind of ushered in this whole era of hyper-personalization.
Where we can curate our own feeds and filter out anything that doesn't resonate with us.
Exactly. So signals-driven outreach, it's kind of like the sales and marketing equivalent of those personalized content feeds. You know,
yeah.
It's this recognition that people are just bombarded with messages from every direction, and they've become experts at tuning out anything that doesn't feel relevant
right.
or valuable.
Yeah. And that kind of makes me wonder, like, how do we actually implement this signals driven approach? You know, it all sounds great in theory.
Right.
But where do we even begin?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Right.
It really depends on your industry, your target market, the resources you have available. But there's some fundamental principles that I think can guide you.
Okay. Let's dive into those. What's step one?
All right. So step one is to really, truly understand your ideal customer. And I'm not just talking about basic demographics here, like their age, location, or job title. You've really got to go deeper than that.
Get into their heads.
Exactly. What are their pain points?
Right.
Their goals? What are their aspirations? What keeps them up at night?
I like that.
The more you understand your ideal customer, the better equipped you'll be to actually identify those signals.
Right.
That indicate that they might be ready to engage with your product or service.
Okay, so we've identified our ideal customer. We've got a good grasp on their needs and their motivations now. How do we actually find those signals?
Okay, so this is where research and observation becomes super crucial.
Okay.
You got to become a student of your target market. Pay attention to their online conversations, monitor industry forums and social media groups.
Okay.
Set up Google alerts for relevant keywords, subscribe to industry newsletters.
So you're saying, like, become a digital detective, basically.
Exactly. You're gathering clues, you're piecing together the story.
Oh, I like that.
And don't forget about one of the most valuable resources you have.
What's that?
Your existing customers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Talk to them. Understand what triggered their decision to buy from you.
Right.
They can give you some really valuable insights.
So we're building this, like, rich tapestry of information.
Exactly.
Pulling insights from all of these different sources and what kinds of signals might emerge from this detective work.
Let's say, for example, you're selling software that helps businesses manage their social media.
Okay.
A potential signal could be a company announcing that they're hiring a new social media manager.
Oh, okay.
That suggests that they're investing in that area.
Right.
And they might be open to new tools and solutions. Another signal could be a company complaining about their current social media management platform on Twitter.
So they're practically waving a flag that says, help me?
Exactly. They're putting it right out there.
Yeah.
These are real-time indicators of pain points and potential needs.
Right.
And the beauty of these signals is that they're often public and readily available.
Okay.
If you know where to look.
So we've identified some promising signals. Now what? How do we actually use this information to inform our outreach?
Okay, so this is where the art of personalization comes in. When you reach out to a prospect, demonstrate that you've done your homework.
Okay.
Tailor your message to their specific needs. Highlight how your product or service can address their specific challenges.
Okay.
Don't just send them a generic sales pitch.
Right. So instead of saying, like, hey, we have this great software that can help you manage your social media, I might say something like, hey, I saw you're hiring a new social media manager. Congratulations. I thought you might be interested in our software, which can help streamline your social media workflow.
Right.
And free up your team to focus on more strategic initiatives.
Now, that's a message that's much more likely to resonate.
Right.
It shows that you're paying attention, that you understand their specific situation,
yeah.
And that you're not just blasting out generic messages.
And don't be afraid to explicitly mention the signal that caught your attention.
Oh, that's a good tip.
So you could say something like, I saw your tweet about the frustration you're having with your current social media management platform.
Right.
We've helped many businesses overcome similar challenges, and I'd love to chat with you about how we can do the same for you.
That's great, because transparency can be incredibly powerful. It shows that you're being upfront and authentic.
Right.
You're not trying to hide how you got their information.
Exactly. You're not being sneaky about it.
Yeah.
This all makes total sense, but it does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah.
It seems far more involved than just like hitting send on a mass email campaign.
It does. It requires a shift in mindset.
Yeah.
And a commitment to being more strategic and deliberate in your outreach efforts.
Right.
But the payoff can be huge.
Right, because you're building real relationships.
Yes.
Not just spraying and praying.
Exactly. And those relationships built on trust and mutual understanding.
Yeah.
They're far more likely to lead to long-term customers and sustainable growth.
So this is a long game, not a quick fix. It's about investing in building genuine connections that will pay dividends over time.
That's a great way to put it.
So now let's talk about some of the tools and technologies that can help us implement this signals-driven approach.
Okay.
So Joe Luna, he focuses on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But there are other platforms and resources available too, right?
Oh, absolutely there are.
So what else is out there?
Well, LinkedIn is a fantastic starting point, especially for B2B businesses.
Okay.
It's a treasure trove of professional data and insights.
Right.
And it allows you to connect with decision makers in this relatively low-pressure environment.
Right.
But depending on your industry and target market, you might also explore platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or even industry-specific forums and online communities.
So basically go where your customers are.
Exactly. Observe their behavior, listen to their conversations.
I like that. And there are also a growing number of tools and technologies that can actually help you automate some of the heavy lifting involved in this process,
right.
Such as...
Well, there are social listening tools that can track mentions of your brand or relevant keywords across multiple platforms.
Oh, that's cool.
Lead generation tools can help you identify potential prospects based on their online behavior.
Yeah.
And then you've got CRM systems.
CRM.
Yeah, customer relationship management.
Okay.
They can help you organize and manage your interactions with prospects and customers.
So technology can play a role, but it's not about replacing human intelligence and intuition.
Exactly. Technology can be this powerful enabler, but it's still up to us to interpret the data and make strategic decisions.
Right.
And build those authentic connections. It's like having a superpowered toolbox, but you still need to know how to use the tools effectively.
Have the skills.
You do. It's about finding that sweet spot where human insight and technological power converge.
I like that. And, you know, as we're exploring this new world of signals-driven outreach,
yeah,
there's another important aspect I think we need to address.
Okay. What's that?
So the ethical implications of using data and technology for sales and marketing purposes.
Oh, that's a huge one. We can't overlook that.
Because we've all heard those stories about companies using data in these creepy and invasive ways.
Oh, yeah.
And that can really erode trust and damage your reputation.
For sure. So how do we make sure we're staying on the right side of the ethical line?
Right. As we build our signals-driven outreach strategy.
Well, transparency is paramount.
Okay.
Don't try to hide your methods or mislead prospects about how you obtain their information.
Be upfront about it.
Exactly. If you're using a tool that tracks website visits or social media activity, let people know.
Okay.
And always give them the option to opt out if they're not comfortable with their data being used in that way.
Right.
It's about respecting people's boundaries and choices.
It's about building trust, not eroding it.
Exactly. And another important principle is to use data responsibly. Mm-hmm. Just because you have access to a piece of information doesn't mean you should use it.
Right. Like if you discover a prospect is going through a personal crisis, it might not be the best time to hit them with a sales pitch.
Exactly. Use your judgment and always err on the side of caution.
Mm.
Remember, building trust is absolutely fundamental
right.
to any successful relationship, personal or professional.
It's the foundation.
It is. And once that trust is broken, it can be incredibly difficult to repair.
So essentially what we're saying is the death of mass outbound.
Yeah.
It presents an opportunity, not a crisis.
Absolutely. It's a chance to evolve our approach to sales and marketing and build more meaningful connections with our customers.
So we're moving away from interruption and towards engagement.
Exactly.
From manipulation to authenticity.
Yes.
From broadcasting to personalization.
That's right.
And from transactions to relationships.
That's the key.
This is a profound shift, and it requires a new way of thinking, a commitment to continuous learning and adaptation.
For sure. But for those who are willing to embrace this change,
yeah,
the rewards can be huge, increased sales, stronger customer loyalty, and a more fulfilling work experience.
A win-win for everyone involved.
A win-win, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole idea that signals-driven outreach mirrors this broader societal trend toward personalization,
yeah,
it raises some really intriguing questions.
Like what?
Well, if this trend continues, it's going to have some significant implications for how we connect with each other, not just in sales and marketing,
right,
but in all aspects of our lives.
So you're talking about like a world where every interaction is tailored to our individual needs and preferences?
Oh, exactly. It's a vision that's both exciting and maybe a little bit daunting.
Yeah, I can see that.
It raises questions about privacy, ethics, and technology's role in our lives.
Right.
It's a conversation that we need to start having now.
Okay.
Before these technologies become so pervasive that it's too late to course correct.
Yeah, it's a crucial conversation to have. Yeah, it really makes you think, about like where we draw the line between, you know, helpful personalization and a world that feels a little too, I don't know, tailored.
Yeah, it is a delicate balance for sure. It reminds me of something that Joe said in his article. He was talking about how the future of Outbound, it's not just about technology.
Right.
It's also about human connection.
Yeah, he was really adamant that even in this world, you know, increasingly driven by AI and automation, that building genuine relationships is